Hi, everybody. This is Phil Rosenthal, and you're listening to What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. And what I'm drinking is all this. Can you see it?
Well, pour yourself a glass, sit for a spill. It's time to have some fun. Let's do a little thinking, some picking and a drinking. Well, this is what we're drinking with Dan Dunn.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Dan Dunn, coming to you today from a top secret location somewhere in the bowels of Los Angeles, California. This is a Hancock Park. Would that be the area we're in? Right, we're generally? Yeah, okay. We're here. I'm with two of my favorite people. I believe both of these gentlemen have been on the show more than any other guest, the repeat guest. So always excited to have them back. First, my old pal, the host of Everybody Loves Raymond 360, Emmy Award-winning writer, comedian, almost had a late-night TV show at one point, I believe, Tom Caltabiano.
Still hurts.
Yes, there you go. I know. I like to bring these things up, Tom.
By the way, the word smattering is definitely following that applause.
Now brace for a much longer introduction. Yeah. Here we go. And also with us today, my man, he is the host of Somebody Feed Phil, which the seventh season is now running on Netflix. Somebody Feed Phil, the book, which was released back in October of 2022, immediate bestseller on the New York Times bestseller list. He's also got another book that he did with his daughter, Lily, called Just Try It, a Phil and Lil book, which just came out last week, March 5th. It's a hilarious picture book for young children, none of whom are listening to the show, but I know the parents are listening, right, Tom?
Parents can listen to it.
He's got a podcast called Naked Lunch. He does it with his good buddy, David Wild, and he's doing a live tour called An Evening with Phil Rosenthal. He did it in 2023, and now he's kicking off a 25-city tour on April 11th in Albany. And then he's going to go all over the country. I got all the dates here for you. And culminating with An Evening with Phil Rosenthal here at the Netflix Is a Joke Festival. Oh, we're out of time.
Yes.
Shit.
Yes.
It's Phil Rosenthal.
I sound too busy for this podcast.
I know. How do we manage to get you here?
Phil
Rosenthal.
What?
Thank God. Smattering.
Yes.
Yes. Here we go.
Wait, don't step on Phil's joke.
Yeah,
Phil, you're
going to really
say thank. You're going to say thank God.
Thank God we're having a drink.
Yes. I'm telling you.
I need a drink after hearing that.
But sorry, I was going to say, Phil, you've been doing the show. I know you don't want to do the show anymore because you're above it. But you started doing it years and years ago before Somebody Feed Phil exploded.
Yes, right. Maybe this is why I got the show.
I think the first time we did it might have been at the Los Angeles Food and Wine at the Barker Hangar. Remember that? Many moons ago.
We also did it at the Lion
We've
Club.
Done
that
it
might have been the first.
We've done it a lot of places. Yeah. So,
but this is my favorite place.
Well, this is great. Yeah, with this top secret location where we're at now. I watched a few of the episodes already. I love Somebody Feed Phil. And
thank you.
And the Scotland episode.
Yes.
I watched that one.
And near and dear to your heart.
Near
I
and
know
dear.
Why.
You went to some of the places that I've been. I loved it. And this sort of, I think, was a good leaping off point for what we're going to be talking about today, because as we know, St. Patrick's Day is coming up. And in the Scotland episode, talking about some single malt scotches and things there. And I think most people associate a single malt with Scotland.
Right.
Right. But the truth of the matter is, one of the whiskeys we're going to be trying today, Bushmills, was granted a license to distill in 1608. They've been making the whiskey, single malt whiskey.
Whoa.
On the north coast of Ireland for over 400 years. It's the world's oldest licensed whiskey distillery.
I had no idea.
Irish. And not many people, if you ask most people where single malt whiskey came from, they'd say Scotland.
But a lot of people think that Scotch is whiskey.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it is. Yes, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
No, but I mean, that's what they call it.
In Scotland, they call it whiskey. If you say whiskey in Scotland, you're talking about their whiskey. You're not talking about it. The rest of it's shite, according. Now, I should also mention this. This show is very popular here in the United States. You know, our second biggest market is Ireland. And I looked yesterday, and What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn was number 7 on the food and drink charts in Ireland. I'm telling you this because they're listening. So if we screw up, we're going to be hearing from like Seamus or somebody's going to be sending me nasty messages.
So I've done an episode in Ireland. It's one of my favorite places in the world. I've been back a couple of times. I did a live show there too. And
Phil, you took it even further. Yeah. You married somebody.
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah. I'd hate to bring these.
Of Irish heritage?
You, of Irish heritage, yes. Yeah. She is not in the room with us right now, but if she was, I don't think we would get a drop of this.
She likes Irish whiskey, huh?
Anything in a bottle.
It's, you know, it's one of my favorite categories because the reality is, and we might have talked about this before, but it was a dying category in the 80s, right? There were about 4 commercially available Irish whiskeys in the United States.
I didn't know that.
Jameson, which we're not drinking today, but Jameson was one of the ones that really started to bring it back. In fact, when I say 4 commercially available whiskeys, they were all made at the same distillery, Middleton Distillery over in Ireland. And now there's, I think, over 100 now distilleries in Ireland, and it's a booming category. It's blown up, and we've got some old favorites, and we've got some newer ones here.
I love Irish whiskey. Tell me if I'm right. The difference in flavor for me between a Scotch and an Irish whiskey is Irish seems to just be a little sweeter to me.
That's true. And not, you don't get the, there's not smoky Irish whiskeys like you're going to get over in Scotland. In fact, when I was watching the Scotland episode, you were up at Talisker.
Yes.
And you drank right out of the cask. You did the whiskey thief.
Right through the bunghole.
And I could see it in your face when you took the sip. I was like, oh, that was some high proof stuff there. Yeah, with some smoke on it.
Oh, uncut. I mean, just as the mother load.
Yeah, but it's really cool to drink whiskey that way, though, isn't it? When you get down in those cellars and they open the bunghole up for you and you go right in and...
go ahead. Sorry, yeah. No, I'm going to skip past that.
We're 5 years old.
Yeah, we're going to skip past that. But
that's what it's called.
Yes, of course. It's an official term for the...
Not the way you use it.
No. Well, not the way I want to use it. But it's a hole in the barrel, and the actual thing is called a bung that goes into the hole that is the bung hole.
That is correct. But
I want to go back just...
I'm actually turning red.
Yes. I have to go back. The just the growth in Irish whiskey sales, there everything, every brown liquor sacrificed was very low on the totem pole in the 80s and 90s. So Irish whiskey was the fastest growing, I know, for the second biggest liquor distribution company. I'm just not going to name it. But everything, you know, people who owned a bourbon company in the 80s would have been like, would you like to buy my company? Because I sold 9 cases yesterday.
Yes.
And now it's like, we can't make it fast enough. And I don't know if you know, I don't know the answer. What was the overall turnaround specifically for Irish whiskey?
Well, I think it was related to whiskey as a category in general, which was the reemergence of craft cocktails, bars, that culture, the whole culture.
Right.
Because most of those drinks, they weren't making it with Absolut. No offense to Absolut.
Yeah.
All of those classic, a lot of those classic cocktails were made with whiskey. And that's what sort of fueled the rise of that again. And then people, you know, just getting into, you know, younger generations, like wanting to try these spirits neat again and realizing...
Flavor.
I shouldn't have said it. Vodka. Realizing there was more to life than, you know, sex on the beach and shots like that. And vodka, which was what everybody was drinking in the 80s. And that's what brought it back. And I think Irish whiskey's emergence specifically was just related to the fact that it was
swept up.
It was a category that had been around forever, but it had gone down. And just like here, I mean, you talk about Michter's, right? One of the great bourbons now that you can get. When Joe Magliocca, who owns Michter's, when he bought it, he bought the name for $250.
Yeah.
I think in 1990.
They saw him coming.
$250 buy this name of this iconic brand, the first distillery in the United States, what was called Shank's then.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. That's how low the whiskey category had sunk. And now, you know, go find a bottle of Michter's 10-year-old, a couple thousand dollars.
First Irish whiskey that I fell in love with. And I think we drank this at the show, like not during the show, but maybe after the show. Do you remember something called Inchmurin?
But yeah, is that an Irish whiskey? Inchmurin? No, that's a Scotch.
No, that's Scotch.
Yeah. Inchmurin.
Can we cut all this so I don't feel like
that's it. By the way, I would just say the Inchmurin, of course I remember it, because I think we also smuggled it into the Emmys one time. I smuggled that bottle into the Emmys. But what I was going to say is because I am older, I bartended in Manhattan in 1985, and we would go weeks without anybody asking for any whiskey. I mean, we had one guy that came in, distinguished-looking older gentleman, Dewars and soda. He would drink it. We'd turn around, and he would be gone.
Yeah.
We wouldn't touch the whiskey bottle. It was Sea Breezes and Cape Cods and Margarita. We didn't even know. I don't even know if we must have had bourbon on the shelf, but I don't think I ever reached for it in 8 months.
Amazing.
Yes.
And so, now they're whiskey bars.
Well, now
it's the highest end things.
And if you had Irish whiskey in the bar, it was probably Bushmills. Or Redbreast or Powers.
I love Redbreast.
That was what it was around.
Sorry, not to add. We would go out drinking. You would be a bartender. We had three per side, right? And Billy Martin would come in, Mickey Mantle, you know, Kelly, who was in Top Gun besides Tom Cruise, the woman.
Kelly McGillis.
Oh. Joey Heatherton, Phil, that one's just for you.
Oh.
But what you do after you get off your shift of serving drinks all day is you go drinking. And I would drink Old Bushmills. I 100% would drink Old Bushmills.
We're going to be drinking it today. And speaking of drinking, Tom, you've queued it up for me. These are the whiskeys we're going to be trying. We're going to have Bushmills 16-year-old. We're going to try Teeling Small Batch. Teeling, great distillery. Great place. I've been over there to the distillery in Dublin. I'll tell you. Natterjack, which is a newer brand. Natterjack. Egan's. Love me some Egan's. I haven't even had any whiskey yet, and the lips are already giving me trouble.
That's the problem.
Egan's Conviction, Slane Triple Cask, and of course, one of our old favorites, Tullamore Dew. That's another one that was commercially. Bushmills and Tullamore Dew. Phil, where you want to start?
Let's start with the most plebeian, the most democratic, the one that everyone can afford.
We'll go with Tullamore Dew then, I think. That's going to be the one. You want to grab that one, Tom?
We'll work our way up the... Yeah. Financial ladder.
Yes. Okay. So, Philip, this bottle, I love the shape of this bottle, right?
I have some of that.
This is the classic Tullamore Dew, which is one of my favorite whiskeys. This has been around forever. It's $24 a bottle for this. And for that price point, not going to find.
Okay, so how much should I take in one?
Just right there. So we know about Tullamore Dew. It was founded in 1829 in the town of Tullamore. The guy's name was Daniel E. Williams. Here's where Tullamore Dew comes from.
Uh-huh.
And his initials are still on the bottle this day.
Now, do you put a drop of water?
I would suggest we try it. Nose it a little bit first. What does it say on the bottle? 40% ABV, so it's 80 proof, Tom.
This says 1800, okay?
It's 1800 proof. We're going to have one sip and it's all over.
This was started, so this is a relatively new whiskey compared to Bushmills. It's 1800.
Tullamore Dew, yeah. It's 1829, if you want to call that new. Now, this is the original triple blended Irish whiskey. It's the three different styles of Irish whiskey. You've got your grain whiskey, you've got your pot still whiskey, and the malt whiskey. Those are the three types of whiskeys you're going to have in Ireland. Mm-hmm. This is a combination of all three of those. It's triple distilled, which is kind of pretty common in Ireland. Right. And let's
cheers.
Get a little,
can we?
Yeah,
can
cheers.
We,
let's Sláinte.
So, Sláinte.
There we go. Sláinte. Oh, there we go. I get the lemon and the malty notes going on there. The vanilla, little charred wood on the nose.
Yeah, there's something about Irish whiskey that goes down easier for me.
It's light bodied. Yeah. It's very light bodied whiskey.
So nice.
Sweet. Spicy, but it's Swedish. Right?
No burn. No burn at all.
Yeah.
This is a nice drink for anybody.
This is $24 expensive for how good it tastes.
Yes, you could have told me this $300 this bottle and I'd be like, yeah. It tastes fantastic.
It's great. And I mean,
and I only say that so they'll send me a lot.
They'll send you some. Yes, if you're listening, Tullamore Dew, and I know they are. I mean, what I love about it too is when you get like this history, I mean, this is 200 years old. You know,
right. Incredible.
And that they've been doing this, this brand.
What a nice
and
thing.
And I think that it's, you know, like Phil said, it's a very approachable whiskey.
Yep.
You know, it's not a simple whiskey. I think there's a lot going on in there, but there aren't, you're not going to get any discordant notes in it. You know,
like if somebody never had whiskey before and says, even I don't like whiskey, I would say, try this.
What do you appreciate the sweetness more? Do you want the
smoothness just, and the
no heat, not the heat. You don't like the heat.
I don't like anything that burns the back of my throat. I think, you know, this is lighter fluid. I don't need that feeling.
Yeah.
Unless it was freezing outside and you really need to warm up, right?
And a St. Bernard came up
with the thing. With the jar.
How many people do you think the St. Bernard saved?
Nobody.
If it's just one.
Hundreds. They just have a great publicist.
Hundreds.
Right. Yes, Tom.
I was going to say, just because your experience, but some people watching might not know, that you can't drink at all. So when if they happen to see us,
I always recommend a dump cup, which is what we have here. I do.
That's what Monica calls me.
I do hate to dump it.
But it's a hard. I'm just saying for the viewer, when they're like, "What are they doing?" It's perfectly delicious, but you can't drink it all, or you'll be on the floor.
You can't.
Yes,
if you're going to wine tasting, you shouldn't drink the whole glass of wine.
Right,
but
Phil, you're experienced. Dan Dunn is extremely experienced.
Yeah.
But for the viewer, I'm just saying, because when someone goes, "Oh, did you see them? They dumped it out."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it took me, Phil. Here, let me just tell. Phil loved to introduce people to food before he had Mr. Hot Steam and TV show. He would like to introduce people to food. The same thing he does now. Only now, millions of people watch it. So we go to our first food festival to help. It's Angel's Food. What is it called? It was Wolfgang Puck.
Alex's
Universal
Lemonade?
Backlight. No, Universal Backlight.
That was for the Cancer Society, I believe.
It was gigantic.
Yeah.
And Phil goes, you have to take one bite and move on.
Yes.
And if you grow up without a lot of money, right, which all of us here did, right, without a lot of money, it's like, I can't believe I'm taking a bite of the most delicious thing I've ever eaten, and now I have to put
it. That's my rule.
That's a strategy.
Unless it is the most delicious thing you ever ate. And then, you know, just realize you're not going to have a lot of room for other stuff.
Right.
So that's always playing in the back of my head.
The mentality is hard to get.
And that's how I do the TV show, too.
You know,
I can't possibly finish everything. I want to try everything.
Oh, you know it's good, though, Phil. Sorry, Dan.
Yeah.
Phil has a crew that's, you know, they pull out knives, like they're threatening Phil as he's going, this is the greatest thing, and the crew doesn't eat.
He feeds them on the show.
Yeah, so he hands them off. Just so
I was mentioning this to Phil off the air. I love Somebody Feed Phil. I love the show. And one of the things I never expected to have happen to me was to cry watching an episode of Somebody Feed Phil, which I just did watching the episode about Dubai.
I don't
want to give it away. There was a moment there where you met this. Maybe give a little bit of it away.
Well, Dubai is more than 80% immigrants, and so you meet people from all over the world in Dubai, especially people from other parts of the Middle East. So I went to this Palestinian woman's restaurant, and I think that's the scene you're talking about. But she made me food from her hand. You saw her do it and feed me, and I got emotional because, you know, sometimes has this happened to you where you taste something, maybe it could even be a spirit, and the spirit of that thing.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I am not a woo-woo, you know, mystic, spiritual person, I don't think, but something happened, whether it was being with this Palestinian lady who we're supposed to be natural enemies, right? She was gorgeous in every way. The food was so transporting that it got to me. This has happened maybe, I can only think of two other times in my life. One was when I had the gelato in Florence, Italy from Silvana Vivoli herself, who made it fresh and spoon-fed me this thing. And I couldn't get over it was one of the most delicious things I ever had in my life, and it was so special doing it with her. I think it's a combo of everything, right? It's not just the flavor. It's where you are, who you're with, what you're feeling. It all affects the taste, I think.
It was genuinely moving, and of course the food looked great. And to your point about, I've gone to distilleries, especially in the old world, where you've got stores of stuff that's been. And when you're drinking something, and it's so delightful to drink, and you realize that everybody who had a hand in making it is gone. But yet, it's still it's there. Still, you know, yes. like I'm yes. drinking it. You know, aged. And every and, you know, yeah.
And you get emotional sometimes.
Sure. Yeah. It's like
Did,
wow.
Have you
like,
ever had that?
But well, first of all.
You don't get
no, no. But Phil, I have to say,
I have no emotions.
No,
I'm a
no,
monster.
Dan, yeah. no, Dan is. I'm hearing this yeah. that he cried watching your show.
Yeah,
Dan's from Philadelphia. As far as I know, he had his
don't
tear ducts
tell anybody
removed.
I cried.
He
had his beat me up. When
he
I go
had
home.
His tear ducts removed. That was at the first Phillies game. I was like, that's surprising to me. By the way, can I want to pass this off to. To, but I don't want to be. I gotta. You gotta. People are gonna.
You guys
to
should get in on this.
People are gonna. Well, he LJ can't because he's tethered.
This is the.
But
we're
Denny
do
can.
Another brand here.
If you cross over there and get another cup from that top, Denny, you can do it.
I gotta say, I've seen more attractive labels
than this one. You don't like the frog?
I love the frog.
The frog.
But I mean, he's a pretty warty toad. On this
it's a warty toad. Well, yeah. This is a new brand. It's called Natterjack Irish Whiskey, and we will address the frog issue in a second. The brand was founded in 2019 by a guy named Aidan Meegan. Left his corp. He was a London trader. Went on this journey to learn how to create whiskey. He met up with a guy named Jordan Villa. Who I happen to know who Jordan is, they met up in a garage, basically, and Jordan offered him a job at the Breckenridge Distillery in Colorado.
Yeah.
And Aidan learned how, spent double shifts for a month, learned how to make whiskey, and then they formed a partnership, and they created Natterjack Irish Whiskey. Now, this is what I love about it. The name Natterjack is a tribute to a toad.
Yeah.
That is native to Ireland. I did a little research on the toad. You want to hear about the toad?
Absolutely.
It's known for its distinctive yellow and or greenish stripe that runs down the middle of its back. It's pretty small compared to other toad species. An adult only gets about 2.5 inches. You can relate, Tom. And then one of the, sorry, am I picking on you? I'm sorry. I don't see you that often. And,
penis joke,
and
Phil,
you make me
for the room.
You make
for the writer's room.
Yes. See, I was saying, Tom, at this moment.
By the way, can I just stop for a second?
Yeah.
In case people don't know that Phil also created Everett's Raymond. So
yes.
Sat in a room, and his job, the job of everybody in the room, is to be as funny as possible, right? So the normal, you know, enough with those wisecracks, young man. You know, that was the occupation.
Yes.
So for 9 hours a day, for 9 years.
Yes. You won't offend us, is what
yes, yeah. yes, and also that would be a 20-minute run in the room.
Yeah, that would have been the easy
starting point of
okay.
terrible.
And now we get into everything he does with it.
Yes,
okay,
yes, and what they do on the set. Yeah, all that. So I'm just saying, when your apology totally accepted because totally inappropriate, but that would have been the launching point.
Okay, you're saying
terrible.
I can make all
By the way,
Tom
the
has
fun in accepting
tiny
an apology.
Penis jokes. I want
in accepting.
Why accept the apology? Why not just like ride to say I will get even?
Well, that's in the room.
Yes,
that's in the room.
I'm here,
in the
Tom. I'm here for a while. You got me.
Come
back
at me.
But
you're looking at me.
I'm also thinking the people that are forced to listen to this show. That's I'm also trying to take their feelings into account. So
the problem, Tom, I don't want to make too much because we are drinking Irish whiskey.
Yes,
and you know you're from New York. I'm from Philly.
Yeah.
By the end of this thing, we don't want to be rolling around on the floor here.
Yes, I want to see that actually.
The thing, yeah, okay.
Wait,
sorry.
The final thing about the Natterjack that I want to tell you is this toad doesn't hop. It runs.
Open with that.
It's a running toad. Doesn't hop. It's a runner.
Okay.
This, never heard
none of
this.
This is interesting.
Natterjack.
Let's try the whiskey.
All right. Again, that's got a little bit more oomph to it, I think.
Just a little, but it has a more rounded flavor. Like
whoa.
There's more, it's not just mild and sweet. It's got, it's more full-bodied, I would say.
Yeah. Than the Tullamore Dew.
Nice job.
It's
guys.
A different. I think it's a different. To me, I'm getting more of the. There's a the char they're using on the barrel is a char 4, which is a heavy char.
Yes.
So I think that's it's imparting it into this whiskey.
Yes.
And you're getting that.
You know what I want to say? You can really taste the toad.
You can really taste the toad. That's right. In the episode, Phil ate camel
chocolate. Chocolate.
And you
so
got an
from
issue.
Camel milk.
You got an issue with camels.
And this very nice lady is showing me. This beautiful chocolate in a beautiful store that only sells
camel milk
chocolate. So I'm sitting down, like, beautiful tasting. I couldn't help myself.
Yeah.
Gotta say, you can really taste
the camel.
Yeah.
Really taste it.
By the way, why is it inherently gross when we drink milk from cow? It's not like a cow is more beautiful than a camel.
If we stop to think about it.
Yes. Everything is terrible.
It's absolutely disgusting. that we drink. We're the only species that drinks the milk of another species. Yeah. What is wrong with us?
But do you know what is not from another? This.
This. There's no milk. Nothing was milked to make this.
This is beautiful. So, Dan, and no toads were squeezed in the making of Natterjack.
How much is this per
bottle? Believe this one's about 35, but I want to try. I want to try an experiment here. Because one of the things I know is that, Phil, you don't necessarily like the higher alcohol things, but I want it, and I have not tried this.
I don't want to feel the burn.
Yeah, so I want to try.
When you feel the burn, I think it's literally distracting you from the flavor.
Okay, but we can put a little water in there. But this, okay.
That's what water's
there's
for.
There's a second
to take that off, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what we do. So they sent Natterjack. Also said they sent us the cask strength. This was their regular. I think that's an 80 proof whiskey. What's that say, Tom? This is the cask strength, which is 63% alcohol by volume. Goodbye. That's 126 proof. I've not tried it, and I want to try it along with both of you, fine gentlemen.
Could I? And you're doing it without water first.
I'm going to do it without the water, but you can put a little water.
Well, I'm going to taste. I'm going to do a sip without water, and then a sip with the water.
This is in real time.
Yes. So this is 80 proof.
This
Sorry.
Is 60. It's 126 proof.
Sorry, this was 80 proof. That's I'm just telling you. This is 80 proof. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And the cask strength is
23% more alcohol by volume than that we just had.
Do you know? Hold, I got it. Do you know Dan Dunn? I know you've probably never seen the show, but Everybody's Raymond.
Yes,
one of
I've
the
seen.
Most favorite episodes of the entire series involves frogs. Okay,
that and it's one called. I didn't see.
It's maybe Phil wrote it with. Well,
that's why I didn't watch that. I only watched the ones you did.
Though. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Sorry. Phil,
well, get ready to tear up.
We all help each other.
That's right.
We all write everything.
So it's a frog is extremely prominently featured in this episode, more so than probably any other episode of television, and it is absolutely one of the funniest.
Okay, I'm going to watch that one. What's it
you
called?
Will. The She's the One.
Oh,
She's
very
the
one. Okay. Good, Tom. Here we go. We're nosing this. This is an experiment to see if Phil's going to come around. This is aged in ex-bourbon barrels for 3.5 years, finished in virgin American oak cask, which is, you know, we use to make our bourbon, but after they make the bourbon, they usually ship them over to Scotland, the barrels, and that's what they use them for. Okay.
Here we go.
I get the vanilla.
Nosing it.
Even that, though, you feel it. You feel the alcohol. But I don't think it's covering up. And I'm going to put a little bit of water in here and see what happens.
Sweet bastard.
I'll put a little bit in there. And then try that. And see if that opens it up a little bit.
Oh, I put too much. Yeah. I think more water than
90 water.
Now. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, when you put the water in, you see it. Now it opens it up. Now you're able to get that. I'm getting the toffee notes. I'm getting some toffee and coffee, a little bit of lemon notes on that one. But I can see you're getting the warmth, right?
You're very good at this. Your descriptions are right on. And I don't know if I'm
influenced,
tasting it because he said those words, but that's right on.
He's suggesting.
Me. Yes. Yeah.
He's suggesting. But no, that 100% accurate. I love high
strength. I like this whiskey. I mean, to me, if I'm drinking it... I enjoy both expressions.
Yes.
If I was going to make a cocktail, I would use the higher proof one.
And is it because you can then dial in the amount of water?
Other ingredients you're having in there. Right. If I'm doing an aromatic,
because you can't take water out of the lower proof one.
Of the you can't
of
do
the,
that.
Of
yeah.
the non-cask strength, but cask strength, you play with it and adjust.
Exactly
it to
right.
Your
exactly
liking.
Right. And I think if you're a serious whiskey drinker. And I don't mean, by no means do I mean that means you don't drink 80 proof whiskeys, because I do all the time. That's probably me. But it'd be nice to have both of these in the house, because then it's like, all right, you get somebody, you're going to go, because that's a really pleasant, that 80 proof one is a very, very pleasant whiskey. This one, to me, the 126 proof, just has the character in it, I think, really jumps at you. You're like, oh yeah, there's some stuff going on.
I think
in
if
here,
we play
man.
Back the tape, Phil mocked certain things about it because he saw a frog, and then he was genuinely taken aback by the deliciousness.
Taken aback.
Like it.
$90 for that one, for the higher proof. Yeah.
Whoa.
Okay.
Wow.
So there we go. Phenomenal. I like it. I'm
Phenomenal.
Good to see that Phil had a high proof and smiled after he had it.
Well, the flavor hits your tongue first before the burn, right?
Yes. So
that's the part.
Phil.
But when it hits the back of the throat and then comes back to your tongue and coats your tongue with a fire, then it can't help but distract you from the flavor.
We did the scotch. You remember that? And I forget. I don't remember, but I remember we had some pretty high octane scotches when we did. That was a couple of years ago we did that. And I remember, I think it might have been like the Lagavulin 16 or something, oh. And Phil took that sip, and I could see it. He went, oh.
Trouble.
Yeah, well, it's a phenomenal whiskey.
But it's a grown-up drink.
It's a potable, for sure.
You know,
sure,
some of them get, so scotches like that, they start to get into the iodine category.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And but people love it.
Love that. I know. I mean, they want a serious drink. I mean, if you're, let's say you're really lonely at night alone, something that'll keep you company.
Yes, that's it.
We're both looking at you, Dan, when he says that.
I want to try this Slain now.
Sorry, Phil, can you hand me the cap? Because the Natterjack vapors are collecting on the ceiling.
Now, they're building up. We may explode.
Yeah, we don't want to.
When we talk about tearing up a little bit, so right before COVID, the last trip abroad that I took, prior to the shutdown, was to Ireland. Whenever you want to get out there. And I went to Ireland, and I got a chance. U2 has been a band that's been a very important band to me in my life. And I went to Slane Castle, which is where U2 recorded one of their seminal albums, The Unforgettable Fire. And I'm friends with the guy who owns Alex Cunningham, whose family owns Slane. And they set up a nice tour for me. And talk about getting teary-eyed. I went into the room where, you know, and this was a very important record for me. I was a teenager and, you know, lived poor kid in Philly. And then hearing these guys singing about big ideas of pride in the name of love and all this.
Yeah.
And I remember I could go back to that place when I was in my room. I had this tiny little room, and I would have my Walkman on and listening to it and dreaming about, you know, getting out of Philadelphia, really. And so to be in that room, I went in the room where they recorded the album, and the woman said, there's a little dot there, and she says, this is where the mic was, because that would capture the perfect, you know, acoustics in the room. And I got, you know, and I'm just sitting there going,
incredible.
Well, this is where it happened, right here. Like this thing that, and then I went down into the bar at Slane and had some of the whiskey, and it was probably getting a little teary-eyed.
I'm sure they did too.
Damn, yeah.
I never had this.
I've never seen. Can I just describe the bottle? Because most people are listening and not seeing. Because we had the Natterjack, which is a beautiful squat bottle with a frog on the front, right? The running toad. This is, I don't know what you'd call this shape. It's a square.
Well, yeah, it looks like a.
It's a little like the that one.
And it's a dark bottle. It's an opaque.
It's a beautiful bottle. Let me just say. It's a beautiful, opaque, and it feels very majestic. And it's kind of it's a rectangle with a little indent on the bottom. And it has Slane in the glass.
It's a very good looking bottle.
This feels like wealth to me.
Well, let me tell you what happened there. So Slane is about 45 minutes north of Dublin, and the family has had it since 1703. So it's been there for a very
second
long time. Yeah. And back in the, I guess it would have been like the late 70s and stuff, it had fallen into disrepair, and the family was in danger of losing this property that had been in the, you know, that it had for centuries. And Alex's dad came up with an idea. He said, you know, we've got this sort of natural amphitheater right outside of the thing. What if we had a concert and we throw a concert and we can raise some money, you know, and they did. And the very first concert was in 1981, the summer of 1981. The headlining band was Thin Lizzy.
Oh, wow.
Which was the, you know,
the boys from are
Dublin,
back in town,
and they were, boys are back in town, huge band. One of the opening acts was a small band from Dublin called U2. And then the thing took, and over the years, everybody has played there. Queen, David Bowie, the Rolling Stones, U2. So if you want to go on and find this online, 20 years later, to the summer of 2001, at this point, U2 is the, you know, the biggest band in the world, and they play. And if you go back and watch the video of it, which is available all over, they play Out of Control, which was their first hit. It was not I Will Follow, it was Out of Control. And when they open the song, Bono says the exact thing he said. I want to thank Philip Leonard, who was the lead singer of Thin Lizzy, for letting us open the show. We're a band from the north side of Dublin. We're called U2, and this is our first single. I hope you like it. And they kick into it, and they play it.
I think I saw their first gig in New York.
No kidding.
In the early 80s, it would be, right?
It would have been their first tour. I think they toured on Boy, so that would have been 80, 81. Yeah.
Yeah. So they remember the
pier?
Yeah, the Hudson River Pier.
On 48th Street in New York City.
And he climbed the scaffolding, and I thought that I'd never seen anyone play the guitar like The Edge, and I thought they were amazing.
And obviously, the history with them and
whatever
and Alex.
Happened to them?
Yeah, they went the wrong way. They just
did you see the show at the Sphere?
I did. I went to the show. Yeah, it was unbelievable. Was it?
Yes. I saw the movie at the Sphere, not the U2 show.
Even if you're not a U2 fan,
you're going to love that.
That
immersive on a
convergence
different level, yeah.
of the visuals, that location, and the music was also overwhelming. It was one of the greatest shows, and that was my 51st U2 concert. So I'm an expert at this point.
I think
that was my 51st show. Yeah. Yeah.
Groupie is the word.
Yeah. All right, so the whiskey. Let's get into this whiskey.
Here we go.
By the way,
we're going to take a sip.
Yeah.
Did you sip yet?
Oh, I don't know if I poured it yet. Might be water. Yeah. Or is it?
I'm going to just dump it in here, Tom. So this one, they use three kinds of casks. Oloroso Sherry Butts from Jerez in Spain, First Fill Tennessee Whiskey Barrels from the Jack Daniel's Distillery, and New American Virgin Oak Barrels from the Brown Forman Cooperage. Obviously, Slane is owned by, not obviously, but they
so
are owned
what
by
they
Brown
mean
Forman.
By triple cask.
Triple cask. That's
so
exactly
three
right.
different casks.
Blended together. And they, we'll see what it tastes like in a second here.
Yes.
But it's been around since 2017, the distillery. Okay. So let's try this. Schlancha again, boys.
Schlancha.
Tom, I'm sorry about the, but I have another small penis joke in mind that I'm going to bust out at some point. Just letting you know.
I taste wood.
Right? Now, this is smoother upon entry for me. I'm right off the bat, I'm going, yeah. A little bit of butterscotch, possibly the toasted oak, which you talked about. Are you getting any dried fruit in here? I'm getting a little bit of like
currants,
like plum, like a little like that sort of flavor.
It tastes really good. Phil goes on a guessing game of linoleum,
remember Mel Brooks doing his bit about the wine taster? He's like, "This is a beautiful red, no," and they go, "No, it's not." Oh, okay, he's blindfolded. I'm tasting notes of butterscotch. No, there's that's not one of the qualities. Okay, chiclets. Is it chiclets?
Years ago when I was writing for Playboy, I wrote a piece called How to Kill It at Wine Tastings.
Yeah,
and I would say, you know, when you get in a room full of wine snobs and you're the so-called expert, you can say anything and they'll nod. I'm picking up hints of wet yak wool.
Well, yes.
And everybody will go, yeah. Like, first of all, you couldn't pick a yak out of a lineup, and you've never been around a wet one before.
But I swear, I've been to many wine tastings, and they tell you what to taste before you taste it, and that can't help but get in your
head.
Suggest
it, yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to obviously get variation, but because the production styles of Irish whiskey is a style of whiskey.
Right.
So you're going to always get butterscotch. You're going to always get a little bit of that toasted oak flavor. You're going to always get a little bit of lemon zest when I get it. Toffee. Uh-huh. Toffee's a big flavor note that you're going to find in Irish whiskey. Now, maybe we get into, there's a couple here that are a little bit older. We'll pick up some more stuff. But when you're talking about whiskeys that haven't been aged an exceptionally long time, and they're Irish whiskeys, they all kind of follow, they're on the same road.
Yeah.
You know, they're all on the, which is what I appreciate. But there is variance.
I appreciate all of it. You know, even if I don't, that wouldn't be the first one I reach for.
Mm-hmm.
And any of these or anything that I eat or drink, I have an appreciation for what it is, which I think is a healthy way to go at life. Accept stuff for what it is, not for what you want it to be.
And I think
it applies to movies, books, you know, people.
It sounds like you're saying to keep an open mind
haggis
to people.
A little.
But eating haggis on the Scotch episode.
By the way, there's good and bad of everything, right? And the way chefs, you know, the evolution of chefs and cooking, there was phenomenal haggis. Like, you can't wait to eat that again.
The first time I ever had haggis, I was at a
Should
castle.
Should you just
I
tell people what haggis is?
It's sheep's stomach filled with all kinds of things, right? And then it's pork. Is there pork in there? What do they put?
There's a lot of everything.
There's a lot of everything in haggis.
Seems to be, you know, probably developed like most recipes in the world from poverty.
Yeah.
And the necessity being the mother of invention. What if we made this stuff that none of us want taste amazing?
That's it. Yeah.
That's cooking in the world.
the primary thing was how do we eat and not die until first, like the 1800s, right? I mean, there was no like, what do you think? What do you feel like eating tonight? It's do we have anything to eat tonight? Yeah. Right? It was more that I wanted to ask, I wanted to hit on what you said before, Phil, just about Irish whiskey, just to categorize them. You're safe going, try an Irish whiskey to someone who hasn't tried it, because there's not going to be a statistical outlier where they go, I felt like I was tasting Ida. What did you recommend? It's a very, very consistently, you know,
that's
within
right.
reason
as opposed
whiskey.
To Scotland, where you've got such a difference between the, and even here in the United States, by the way, I had to tell you a quick haggis. So the first time I ever had it was at, I was in Scotland, I was in Inverness in this castle at a party. And this is an odd sounding story. I was with, you know, but I was with Sean William Scott Stifler from the American Pie movies. And there was a band called the Red Hot Chili Pipers. And they are a bagpipe band, and they're enormously popular. They play, and they were hired to play this party, and they're playing the party, and they're running around, and there's a lot of energy. And I'm talking to Sean William Scott, and I just tried the haggis, and we were talking, and I'm like, it's not that bad, right? And they were running around, the Chili Pipers guys, and I turned like this, and the part of the bagpipe caught me in the head, right? When the guy was running by, cut me right here.
Wow, a horrible bagpipe accident.
I just had haggis. And then got hit by a Red Hot Chili Piper.
As if the sound wasn't offensive enough.
With Stifler sitting next to me. You can't make this stuff up, boy. I really can't. All right, so Slane, the Slane Irish Whiskey is $27.
Bagpipe. Really? Just listening to bagpipes?
No, he actually got hit with
a bagpipe. He was hit with a bagpipe. $27 a bottle for the Slane.
No, we went backwards.
Yeah.
I'm jumping all over.
You fooled me.
I didn't like crazy the bargain, I didn't like the we're up to the top. Yeah, what's it?
I say crazy bargain. This is I'll say
it's
this.
Great.
I do love the juice. I love the bottle too.
Yes.
It's just a time.
Take it with you.
Take Tom, that's yours. You can have it, Tom.
Paddy O'Brien. Ex-Irish assassin. His trademark, a superstitious man, he leaves a tiny keepsake from his good luck bracelet on every victim he kills. Scotland Yard would love to get their hands on that piece of evidence.
Yeah, they're always after me, Lucky Charms. What? Why does everyone always laugh when I say that? They are after me, Lucky Charms. What?
It's a television commercial.
Can I interrupt for 1 second? Just because we have bread here, and I want to just take a bite of the
take
bread.
Take a bite of
gotta
bread.
Have it.
Yeah,
it's Tom's famous bread. Look Tom's how beautiful it is.
So in 2001, I made my first loaf, and since 2007, I make it pretty much every day. And it's such a zen type of thing where I get up every morning, I bake bread, and then I give it to friends. That's the story
I made
bread.
A loaf today, but it was different. See, I'm just going to go with the...
Wow, that is terrible.
See, well, I would have killed it in the Ray's writing room, I think.
I have baked bread. Dan, I have baked bread at your house, and I baked bread at Phil's house.
Yes, you have.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Well, let's get some bread. And while you're breaking the bread up, Tom, I'll tell you a little bit about Teeling Irish Whiskey, which is proudly distilled in Dublin, and that says something. That goes back to what I was telling you about how the categories come back.
Yeah.
In 2012, a new generation of the Teelings, the brothers Jack and Stephen, guys I know, because... This family, the Teeling family's roots go back, distilling roots go back to 1782. In 2012, Jack and Stephen Teeling opened the first new distillery in Dublin in 125 years.
Wow.
How crazy is that? For 125 years, no distilleries in Dublin. That's why they have the Phoenix on the label. It's the rebirth of Dublin whiskey. It's a absolutely beautiful facility. If you're in Dublin, you have to go to Teeling. And this particular one we're going to have, this is actually, I think it's one of the most awarded Irish whiskeys out there. They've won over 500 international awards, and we're trying the Teeling Small Batch whiskey.
Hold that thought. Okay. It's two different loaves, Phil. Oh. That's why I'm doing, so one of them is going to be much, much more, they're both going to be delicious, but one of them is going to be a little denser.
Got
here,
it.
Let me do this, Philip.
Yeah.
This is great.
Rip off half of your bread. Breaking bread with people.
You know what people love when you chew into the mic on the podcast?
Do you know Phil has a podcast
that's just that
called Listen.
Listen to Me Chew.
By the way, if anybody listening hasn't heard Naked Lunch with Elaine May,
listen to it.
Mm.
Oh my God.
It's
that's
unbelievable.
So good, Tom. And now I want to see how this pairs with the whiskey.
Wow.
It'll work.
Great.
All right. Teeling Small Batch Whiskey.
Yeah.
This is grain and malt whiskeys, fully aged in ex-bourbon barrels, married together, then after that, in Central American rum casks.
Oh, this so
12 months in there. So I'm going to guess we're going to get a little
sweeter.
We're going to get a little fruit in this profile. Let's try it. This is a 46% alcohol by volume. All right, let's do it.
Wait,
on the nose, I'm getting vanilla and I'm getting raisin. Maybe some allspice.
If you hand it.
Okay, so that this is another one. Very smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny bit of burn on the back,
yeah.
But it's another really nice one.
Definitely the dried fruit on this, because then that's coming from the rum. You're getting a little, even like some tropical fruits, I think,
right?
Coming in there on this one. You're right, there's a little heat on it, but it's not a high out. It's
no.
Only 46%. So 92, is that the math? Add it up, carry the six. 92 proof, yeah, that's what it is. By the way.
Yeah, that goes down easy.
I made an Irish coffee the other day, and I used the Teeling that they sent me, and I'm going to tell you how to do it. An ounce and a half of this Teeling small batch, 4 ounces of hot brewed coffee, the best coffee you can get, a little Demerara syrup, and then you get some cream.
What is Demerara syrup?
Demerara is like a very sweet syrup, like a stout syrup.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's it made from?
Don't know. Tom?
Stoutosity. I don't know.
You're the one making stuff.
By the way, so there's two different loaves.
Yes.
Just FYI. One has a crazy, I grind my own wheat also.
Yeah.
Has a crazy amount of ingredients. And the other one is just mostly organic white flour with some rye in it. But that's why you're.
I was home grinding my own wheat the other day. Thinking about you, Tom. Just tell me when I get one.
By the way.
When I land one. Just let me land one joke.
But again, in the room, you see. Sorry, discretion. That's what it is. You've already
bombed three times.
No, but a lot of times we'll go. If let's say we're all professional comedy writers who have been sitting in a room for 9 years together, you've already thought the joke. You've decided I'm not going to do that joke because it's too easy, off-putting, or cheap.
So if Dan was in the room with us,
yes,
and this is your third or fourth joke like that,
right?
Yeah, I'd be fired.
Your friend next to you.
Yeah.
A nice writer next to you might whisper in your ear,
"Stay down,
stay down." Stay yeah, down. Just okay. let's ride this day out. Just
Phil's,
try not to.
Phil, you can see Phil doing a mental inventory of available writers that are out there going, "Yeah, say it's a shame we're going to fire him."
I will say the worst thing you could get from Phil, which you very seldom did it, but I only remembered it because it was written on the board. Was I pitched a bad joke? I pitched something, and Phil made an obnoxious falsetto donkey sound. Very loud. So it wasn't even, I don't even know what it was. And so Mike Royce, one of the writers, said, sure. "Tom, that was a bad joke, but I don't think it deserved the falsetto donkey." And it was like, because this I will say also, the bad joke, everything comes out of the same pipeline. Right. So when you say your terrible joke, someone goes, wait, not that, but what about this off of that? So you try not to edit.
Well, I was really good at bad. So when I wrote, I wrote for Talk Soup.
Yes.
And I was very good at off-color humor on Talk Soup, and it was easy to do because we were writing jokes off of clips of, Jerry Springer and all these dating shows. But it got to the point where, when I was there, Aisha Tyler was the host.
Ah.
Oh, this is going to bring up my terrible nickname. I made a tragic fashion choice once. I went somewhere, I think I went to the Caribbean, and I bought Puka Shell's necklace, and I wore it to work one day. Oh, bad idea.
Without
and your
so
name?
I became known, forever known as Puka Dan. To Aisha called me Puka Dan. So she would deliver the joke on the show, and then she would go, "Oh my God, was this Puka Dan?
Oh boy,
Puka Dan! Stop with this childish,
Yeah, wow.
To the point where my mom would say,
because she's sophisticated and smart and great.
She's great, and then
not
she'd have me
amazing
writing.
That you right. actually worked on that.
You digging this one, Phil? The Teeling?
Yeah, I like.
Yeah,
this is phenomenal.
Yeah,
there's no way this is $24. It tastes like success.
This one, $34.35. I hate $34.99.
Well, that's very reasonable. Bargain. Crazy.
We're going to get the two we have left are the most expensive.
Oh, boy, Tom.
Okay, here we go.
But no, 35 is a
We came
a
on
joke.
A good day.
By the way, the bread.
The expensive stuff.
The bread is really good with the whiskey.
Great. Yeah, yeah.
So what is it, Tom? Listen, what is it that's in the bread that's making it?
Do the Irish eat bread ever? Because I don't know if they're.
So wait, this is your disciple's bread?
This is my disciple.
This is Denny's
bread. This is Denny
Illich. It's a similar sized loaf.
He's no Tom Caltabiano. You know why? Because I heard he's hung. Oh, bam! See,
Damn.
Now that one landed. Come
Damn,
on.
It's so lowbrow. It's
beneath
you. It's beneath you.
All right,
you,
fine. Let me get back to what I know. Whiskey.
Dan, your guest is Phil Rosenthal, a beloved guy. He's going on tour. By the way, Phil's live shows, if you haven't gotten a chance, it's a love fest. It's people who he has touched in a great way, where during COVID, where people were down and out. You see a Ray Romano stand-up comedy show? Okay, gets laughs. Thank you, Ray. Good night. With what? Phil? That's
true. Oh my God,
true.
You're shitting that's on Ray right now. Oh
friend.
My God.
No. Because here's how I can know. Because Ray came out for one of Phil's shows. He came on stage. They're like, oh, look, there's Ray. Oh, no, okay, can you stop talking now, Ray? Phil, when you make an egg. No, seriously, when you make an egg, Phil, you know, I had a terrible illness and you helped me.
Oh, no. You're looking at me as though I don't know this. I was at the show with you at Phil's show here in Los Angeles. Allison Janney was the moderator. Right.
By the way, not good for your movie. Trust me.
She's wrong. Let's skip right over that part. All right, Egan's. Egan's family has been around for 170 years. They've been doing this. They are these are whiskey bonders. So basically what they do is they go out and they find whiskeys. They don't have their own, and they marry them together, and they make these whiskeys. They get them from all over Ireland. Just a really, really high-quality brand. This expression we're going to try right now is called Conviction. It's a 10-year-old. Yeah. That means the youngest whiskey in the blend is going to be 10 years old.
Right.
And
is that how it works?
That's how it is.
You're only as old as your youngest.
Grab me another
whatever's on the bottle. So yes. if you see a 16-year-old whiskey, there's probably going to be some older whiskeys in there in smaller amounts, but the number on the bottle has to be the youngest whiskey in the...
Except for, of course, single malt. In the blend. It is what it is.
So, so this Egan's Conviction is a blend of single malt, single grain Irish whiskeys, each aged for no less than 10 years in cognac casks, XO cognac casks.
Oh, so now we're fancy.
Yeah, so...
A very good name, by the way,
this
for
is
anything.
Not,
Conviction.
Yes, this is not $24.
This
hold
is
on.
Not $20.
Hold
let's
on.
Try
don't
it.
Put a price I'm until tell I you. Taste it.
46% alcohol by volume, so again, we're right in that...
Let me smell it.
Mm. Oh... Different flavors altogether. I'm getting chocolate.
I got a taste of fruit immediately.
You got the fruit.
Like first thing.
Mm. Like I'm going to say an apricot almost.
Yeah. Well, apricot's one that you're going to get commonly. And I was getting that in the last one that we had. Are you getting?
But this one I got like first thing on the tongue. I thought I bit into an apricot.
No kidding.
Yeah. I mean, listen, everybody's different too.
I'm getting ginger and chocolate on this.
Chocolate, I don't understand, but...
Licorice, maybe
ginger.
A little licorice, yeah.
It's very nice.
It's really
it's
nice.
It's bright, right?
Huh?
Like it's
I think
bright
we might have
flavor.
Found Phil's new favorite whiskey category.
I don't know.
It might be Irish
it's
whiskey.
Cool.
Irish whiskey.
I do love Irish whiskey, but I also love Scotch. I also love... Did we do Japanese whiskey yet on this show?
No, that's next.
Oh, boy.
What did we do?
Because I'm crazy about... I mean...
July 9th.
To me, I'm such a... I want you to watch the Kyoto episode.
Yeah, I will.
Because have you been there?
No.
You're going to want to go. Kyoto is one of the most beautiful places on the earth.
Okay.
Serious.
Sorry, Phil, can you watch all the episodes now? It's March 12th.
Seven,
it's
right?
Our biggest season. Season seven, we did eight episodes.
Eight. That's
can you binge watch them, though? I mean, the same day?
I wouldn't, but...
No, but I mean, you're capable of. Yes.
Yes,
they're all up. They're all up.
They're all up now.
They're all up.
So, Kyoto.
Yeah.
So... Put a pin in that.
You've been there.
Yeah, I have been there. Very beautiful. It's not like South Philly, but it'll do. put a pin in that.
I heard it looks a lot like Boyle Heights. No?
Can you get Phil some delicious Japanese whiskeys for the next
episode we're going to do?
So,
what did we do? And by the way, this is not Japan, but I was thinking about, we did an episode in Koreatown, but what did we do then?
That was Lion, and that was, I don't remember if we did a specific alcohol.
I think we might have just done cocktails.
We ate. Yeah,
that was my
ate,
old show.
Yes,
Janky it was. But we've done Scotch. We've done bourbon.
Michters.
We've done
tequila and mezcal.
We've done. What did we do at your what's the restaurant on La Cienega that we
Republic was also cocktails that they were making.
That was just cocktails.
Yeah,
okay.
That was your
so we've
old
done
show.
Some cocktail episodes and we've done. But you're right. Japanese.
I have to thank you, Dan, for turning me into a raging alcoholic.
By the way, would you say that Phil is the least drunk person ever to appear on your show?
Yes.
Do people really get loopy?
Nobody. First of all.
Yes.
That's not a message we're putting out.
Yeah,
right?
Drink responsibly.
No, really. I mean, it's funny when we talk about the job. Like people say, "Oh man, you must just be drunk all the time." I go, "You couldn't do this job. You got to pay. First of all, you got to pace yourself. You got to pay attention." I'm saying this as I'm burping, but it's the bread that's making me do that.
I really think that the next one we do, we should have Monica with us because she's so.
I would love it.
She's so enthusiastic about it.
Well, I thought she was going to love
Phil. Can you think this one over, though? Really?
Yes.
I mean, it's. Can
I think the audience likes her?
Can I?
She's great on the show, on your show.
People, yeah. But, Dan
and Lily, your daughter's great on. The
show. Yes. I'm going to interrupt for a second. So because I do the Everett Raymond 360, I see a lot of people's opinions, and every once in a while, they're like, "Of course, she got the role. She's married to the producer of the show." So the way it happened is, there was an episode written by an outside writer, and they needed a character. And one of the other Raymond writers said, "Phil, you know who would be perfect for this role?" And Phil was like, "Who?" And he's like, "Your wife, who is an actress, right?"
And Phil took a swing at that person. Well, like, don't you talk about my wife.
He has to spend all
she's
night.
An actress.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
All night and then all day with her. It's like the worst nightmare for a man.
Actually, I wasn't thinking that at all.
Oh, sorry, Phil.
I really wasn't. I was thinking...
I'm going to be fired as his counsel.
I'm glad that someone else suggested her, so it wasn't nepotism. So it wasn't me just putting my wife in the show because I needed a new couch.
Yeah.
Right? it's
maybe
somebody
she,
else.
Maybe she's talented on her... You know,
Then she totally scored in that first season in one episode that we kept her...
It's phenomenal.
Can I tell you that, because you don't read the feedback that I do, which is for the 99% is like, I love Amy. I love the family.
Yeah.
Why didn't they, you know, they wanted to just continue. Yes. Why wasn't Amy pregnant at the end? That would have been so heartful. And I said, well, Phil wanted to do a spinoff of the show, and then he would be saddled with new baby. Let's have that story arc preserved for the thing. Yep. But the amount of love for Monica, now I'm going to ask you, Phil, because... Ray, this is a good story of me, Ray Romano, and Phil having lunch, right, in Los Angeles. And all of a sudden, this older couple comes up, and they see Phil. And they're like, it's Phil. It's Phil Rosenthal from Somebody Feed Phil. And oh, my God. Okay. Would you mind if we took a Phil? Could we take a picture? You know, Choli, there's Ray standing there, right? And I said, well, that guy, point to Ray. I point to Ray. That guy could take a photo for you. And they, and so they look over, and they're like, oh, it's Ray, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, not a good photographer, Ray, right? Don't trust him. But they took the picture. But now with Monica and you, Monica probably still gets recognized more than you.
She gets a lot, and it's really sweet. And I hate saying this, but most people prefer her to me.
You don't even have to say that, Phil. 10 minutes
I think, look, the dynamic that you have on Somebody Feed Phil, where not only do you have your family on there, which doesn't seem... forced at all. It's a genuine, and it's fun to see.
A vacation, you're probably going with your family.
I loved the scene in the Scotland episode where you and Lily were sitting outside, and I was so jealous because the food looked phenomenal. But they're sitting out on this outdoor deck, looking at the most beautiful view of the water, and they're bringing out langoustines and lobster, like everything they were bringing out to you. And you guys have, you know, it's fun to see that you have passed along your enthusiasm for food, which is another plug for the book. What's the name of the book you got?
Just Try It.
Just Try
About
It. That's
dad
right.
Who eats everything and his little girl who won't eat anything.
There you go.
There's a lot of grown-ups, too, who don't try stuff. Today we're here to say, try Tom, Irish whiskey, people.
Well, let me tell you this.
It's very, very good.
Egan's, my buddy Johnny Egan owns this brand, and then his business partner, I know Johnny, and then John Ralph, who is also... one the owners of the brand, he lives here down in Huntington or down in the South Bay.
Yeah.
And he said to say, if you guys ever want to do like a full on, he'll bring everything they got and they'll do the whole
Egan's
Irish because they've got a lot of great things.
I just drank all of the Egan's in my glass. I did such a rookie mistake. It tasted so good. I was like,
bye.
Okay.
Nice knowing you.
Phil, let me tell you something.
Take a guess on the price on this?
First of all, can we describe, because again, most people listening, opaque bottle. But with that beautiful matte finish, right?
Yeah.
It says Egan's Conviction Irish Whiskey, aged 10 years, a beautiful bottle.
$12.
$12. I'm going to say $75.
Bill?
$1,000.
The closest to it gets to keep the bottle.
Oh, shoot. Right, oh, now I yeah, you made
$2,000.
No. Well, no,
you're
you
not
it.
In the ballpark. You are in the ballpark. Okay. So I'll give you another guess.
No,
I was kidding.
No, Phil can afford this.
What was your guess?
$75.
Tom is so desperately hoping Phil gets it.
I'm going to say $90.
And the rich get richer. $100. Say,
wow. Yeah. Well, very. It's very, very good. Tom,
very good.
Our special guest today.
No,
on the Dan Dunn
podcast, yes. You get to keep that bottle.
Phil I don't is need giving the Tom the Egan's conviction. Yes. See, there is harmony in the world.
It's my conviction to you as a friend.
I really appreciate it, Philip. By the way, the moment we go cut, Phil's going to go, give me that bottle.
Give me that damn bottle.
I have a public image, but...
Speaking of bottles, we've got one more left. Yeah. And this is one of the... this is one of the granddaddies of them all here. Tom, let me pass this over to you.
Oh, boy.
Bushmills.
Nice. Yes.
Has one of my favorite lines in any song, Tom Traubert's Blues, also commonly known as Waltzing Matilda. And he says, "Oh, Bushmills, I stagger.
Oh, yeah.
You bury the dagger, your silhouette window light." Don't I sound just like Tom Waits?
You do.
Thank
you.
I love Tom Waits.
He's the best.
Where is he lately? I need him.
He's still around. Life. Still around.
Remember his bit in the Coen Brothers movie?
Oh, he's great. Great actor.
The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, yes. I think it was.
That's right, yeah.
He does that great scene. He's amazing.
He's amazing. So as we mentioned, 1608 Bushmills has been around. 400 years, the world's oldest licensed distillery. They have been through everything, famine, fire, American Prohibition, and with each trial, they have found new strength. And the master distiller, Colm Egan, says, this is a great quote, "We're not the best because we're the oldest. We're the oldest because we're the best."
Oh,
right? Come on, baby.
Phil, Dan, would you mind just a moment? Because I haven't
uncorked. That's what I say to Monica.
Good, let me hear.
I haven't uncorked any of them yet on Mike. Here we go.
Oh yeah!
So
Monica just heard that a mile away and she's running.
She goes, pour some of that, will you? They've been making single malt before they even called it single malt. It's double distilled in Scotland, but in Ireland it's triple distilled. That makes it one of the smoothest whiskeys in the world. This is 100% malted barley, triple distilled in copper pot stills, which I know you were looking at when you were in Scotland, so you know how that goes.
Beautiful?
They've got a ton of different expressions, 10, 12, 16, 21. We're doing 16 over here.
All right, and this 21. Is not your average Bushmills. This is 16-year-old.
This is 15-year-old, 15 years in a combination of Oloroso sherry and bourbon season cask, and then they finish it in port wine. Pipes.
In another
year. Call, yeah.
Port wine pipes.
Pipes. That's what they call the barrels over there.
By the way, that's a beautiful bottle with history.
Damn beautiful.
So cheers.
Sláinte.
By the way, we're also getting the beautiful sun is streaming in.
It's such a nice.
Yes.
As we
fade.
Right off the nose. I mean, the nose is robust on this thing, right?
Here what is. Go. Okay. Oh boy. Wow.
Oh man. Now that's. I want to hear it. What do you got?
Complete,
that's so many different flavors.
Complete left turn from...
All right. This is the most complex.
Yeah.
The most sophisticated. There's a lot going on. It's also less sweet than the others, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If you told me this was scotch, I would believe it. Mm.
Is that an insult of the Irish? Yeah.
The Irish, the people are...
They're irate right now. They're turning off.
They're uninvited now.
But it's... Listen, there's only... I have one criteria. Is it delicious?
No.
Yeah.
And it's 40%. It's 80 proof.
Yeah.
So low, one of the lower ones we've had. I'm getting like peaches and mango on here.
Not sweet.
Almonds. Like no. There's an almond note going
there's
on.
There's like a fruit festival on the nose.
Like, yeah, this is it's the fresh. Fruitiest yeah. of... Tom,
fresh
speaking
grass.
Of which, go ahead. Go next.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
That was a dig.
There it is.
Speaking of fruity,
see,
Phil.
No, there's nothing wrong with being fruity, Tom.
There's nothing wrong at all.
I'm not participating.
Here's what's weird, Phil, to me.
I've already been fired from every letter of Raymond. In my fantasy run as a writer on Raymond, I've been shown the door.
No. Just stay down. Okay. Stay down. Okay? And then someone walks out afterwards
you
and
may live through the night.
Yes. Someone walks out and puts their arm around you as you're leaving.
You don't poke your head out of the foxhole.
All right, what about milk chocolate? Anybody getting that? I'm getting a little milk chocolate.
I get grass.
It's because you put Nestle's Quick in your glass.
Yeah.
Grass.
Fresh cut grass.
This is a very earthy quality to this whiskey.
I haven't tasted it yet. Did you taste it, Philip?
I did. I love it.
It went in.
Hold on.
All right, we're going to guess the price on this one as well, the Bushmills.
Oh, my.
It's good.
And by the way, they're also releasing a 25 and a 30-year-old.
Whoa.
And I bet if you said something nice about Bushmills right now, I could probably convince them to send you a bottle, Tom.
I think Bushmills is the greatest, not just Irish whiskey company, probably the greatest company in the history of the world.
Soundbite.
Soundbite. 30-year-old whiskey coming Phil's way. Yeah.
Well, what I don't understand is why is Phil only worth the 16-year-old right now?
Because I wanted to do something that was approachable, yet had a little age on it. Because I'm even after how many shows we've done, 10, I'm still trying to nail down. But Phil's palate is expanding. I'm seeing this in real time. From when we first started doing this many, many, many years ago, I've watched you become, and I mean this, you've become a much more sophisticated consumer of adult beverages.
It's like everything. The more you do something, the more you know about something. It's that simple. You can't be an expert the first sip, right? You got it. It takes a lot of bottles to get through.
To get to here. Been working on it. All right.
Hi, Tom. My name is Phil, and I'm
guess the price, Tom, on this one.
Okay. First of all, let's describe it. It's a beautiful bottle. It's got the old Bushmills, you know, whatever that icon of the old single, you know, whatever, pot still. What is that?
That's a pot still.
Yeah,
that's
pot correct. Still from 1608.
The raised lettering on the glass.
Correct.
Is so nice.
Yes, this is not just, hey, we need a bottle.
Right.
Triple distilled, established 1608, which you would have older and approachable. That was, I'm not even going to say it. What color is that?
I like to think of myself as older and approachable now when I go out. I'm like, hi. Hi, everybody.
That is true.
I'm more approachable, but nobody approaches.
Oh, come on, man.
What color is that? I'm slightly colorblind, Philip.
Pinky, of the
label. Pinkish?
A kind of pinkish red, yeah.
Yeah.
Salmon?
So, sorry, always framing for people that don't see. Beautiful bottle, off the top, on the server. You know, like right away, I'm trying to get descriptive.
It is how much, Tom?
$104.
$125.
And the rich get higher. And the rich get richer.
How much?
Phil wins it at $150 a bottle.
Worth it. I'm going to say worth it.
He's not giving you that one.
I'm just kidding. And if my friends at Bushmills are listening, I think it's a bargain at twice the price.
It's really, I mean, this is a baller to have on your bar. Like, yeah, this is one you want to have on your home bar.
By the way, this is what someone says where they go, would you like some old Bushmills? No, thanks. Well, just take a taste of this. And they go, can I have a few more of these? Yeah.
Right,
I'm going to pass this across the table.
It's great. Well, listen here.
I think you saved the best for last.
Phil Rosenthal has to go to dinner. I'm told. His people are looking over at me, tapping their watches
Phil
right
has
now.
An IV and, of food. I've never seen him eat in my life.
Somebody has to feed Phil tonight. Gentlemen, always just such a joy having you on. I would have you on. If you weren't
fast.
So busy, Phil, I would, you know, I'd ask you to maybe be my sidekick.
Oh.
Sidekick?
As a co-host?
No.
Do you know how insulting that is?
Sidekick.
That's incredibly insulting. Phil is a magnitude of a star, so unapproachable. Although I will say, Phil, Dan has had Bryan Cranston, Kurt Russell, right? Giant stars.
Never Pitbull, heard of them.
Allison what? Janney with you.
Yeah.
Allison you remember Janney. We did that show?
Don't care for her.
By the way, this was a funny show because it was
she's
in the
one
heart.
Of my favorite people in the world. She would best. Be a good permanent sidekick.
She's been on. We did an episode during COVID, much. And this was in the.
The height of COVID.
The height of COVID.
No, we where all, you go, you might kill me. Like that type of thing.
Like we were trapped, but Tom, it was quite a thing. You had to get tested. So he went over to Allison's house. So they were on Zoom, and I'm at my house. And we talked. Somebody mentioned earlier today. Well, we definitely got drunk on that. Me and Allison got drunk. I don't know about you, but we had our share of tequila that day.
Can I tell you the funny side story though, Phil? We're here in a professional podcast. Irish.
Oh, it's my wife. I knew she. I knew the sound of the bottle opening.
Monica wanted that Irish whiskey.
Monica, hurry up because we're wrapping up.
I think you're a bunch of selfish.
You got to taste this.
Monica Rosenthal is joining us. Hi, great to see you.
Monica,
can
you sit next to me?
Can you try the Bushmills 16-year-old?
Wait. Before you taste it.
For camera.
This is very high-end 16-year-old Bushmill. We've never had this. This is very good. Go ahead.
I love low-end Bushmills.
Get into that microphone.
No, we know. Phil's already...
Well, I can't imagine by the way, what's going to happen.
Monica,
is that what this is?
Yes.
Well, by the way, Monica, we're both from Philadelphia, so I understand that you love Irish whiskey, right?
We're in Philly.
I grew up in Northeast Philadelphia.
Northeast.
Father Judge High School for boys.
Father Judge, Archbishop Prendergast.
Is that where you went?
Yes.
Delco. Yes.
Delco
all right.
through and through.
Hoagies. We used to get hoagies and get them Poconos.
Cake and hoagie to go.
Because we're going on hour six of this marathon. But Phil, who you know, he was speaking very highly of you. And he was saying, I wish Monica was here because it's all delicious Irish whiskey. And I said, please. I said this. I said, please not Monica. Don't have her come in. Because
then it's gone.
No, because then
none for anybody else.
No, but I won't get a word in, Phil.
Oh, that is true.
I'll be sitting over there. Phil's like, I'll be in the corner, Dan, if you need me. Nice going.
But all right. Tom.
Yes.
Can you please?
Can she let her drink the whiskey, Tom?
I need to have a little focus or concentration. I was just outside that window there, you know. You could have just said, hey, how are you? All right, you ready?
All right, we want to get Monica's tasting notes on this. Let's hear it.
Just brush my teeth. Please hold. Please hold.
Take a bite of bread.
Yeah.
Take some bread.
This is Tom's bread, too.
Oh, Tom.
It's so good.
Wow.
Isn't it nice?
By the way, can I tell you an insulting thing? I got a text from Monica. Tom, thank you for the bread. And I go, I didn't bring any bread. And Phil's on the text chain. Monica, that was from Tom. Papa, not from Tom. And I go, Phil, this is how I find out you're eating other people.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Cheating on Tom.
Monica never calls for my bread.
No.
So this is excellent.
You'll be getting
all
right.
All right, so Monica, so you know, Bushmills is the oldest distillery in the world.
I
400
that.
Years. They've got the 10. This is the 16-year-old expression. We're not going to tell you how much it cost or anything yet. We just want to get your very quick tasting notes on this. All right.
I will give you my reaction in one moment.
Here we
this
go.
This is an Irish girl's take.
Irish woman whiskey. Tasting Irish whiskey.
Drum roll, please.
With an Irish host.
This is how the Irish saved civilization.
Wow.
That's the note we end on, I think, right there. Yeah.
Yes. So I'm guessing that's a good thing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm leaving this with you.
Yes,
this is yours
Monica.
Now. Monica wins. Monica wins the show with that comment.
Wow.
And I'm going to leave the Bushmills. $150 a bottle. Yeah, there we go.
That's a gift.
But you get it.
Not for
get
your
out.
For your wisdom.
Yes. Wow.
Don't drink directly from the bottle.
No.
She's
just opening. A little poor.
I told you.
Look,
Egan's, she's opening it.
We're gonna, my friend Siobhan Fallon. Her family name is Egan.
There we go.
What's Can Egan?
We're gonna do Japanese whiskey next. So we'll have you on for that one.
So wait, Monica.
Oh, I like that
too. Only because we're out of time, and some people in this room have to be at dinner at 5.
I know.
And is there someone from New Hampshire in the room?
Maine.
Or no?
From Maine.
Yeah.
It's, my cousin Anna from the Maine episode. If you've seen the Maine episode,
this is a diner.
This is a real superstar here. This is Anna. She.
How
no
you doing?
One has ever gotten the response on the show that Anna got.
She makes up for the feeling that you give to people.
Yes.
Anna, tell him what's the first thing you said to Phil when you saw him this trip?
No wife jokes.
No wife jokes.
No wife jokes. Because she's on my side.
I'll tell her what I said, you know, when she told me that on the show. That's all I got.
And the shtick of my mother's cooking.
Wow.
Yes. We stick up for Helen. Because Helen was an excellent cook.
Phil, this is taking a very ugly turn.
Don't this is you.
My own cousin.
No.
My
I'm
own cousin.
In a positive way because yes. I love them both.
I see.
Excellent.
Maybe you should have the show because you're way nicer than me.
Yes. I'm gonna hide
my
these
new
knives.
Sidekick
yes.
over here.
Phil,
yes.
You've already
here
been stabbed in the back. I'm going to hide these.
This liquid by heel.
Yeah.
It goes really well with cheese.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Here. This liquid right
bread.
Here.
Oh, she does. She's gluten-free.
Gluten-free. Gluten-free.
Hey, by the way, can
like
what about...
Not yet, you can.
If you're gluten-free, can you have whiskey?
Yes. Let me tell you something about this, by the way. Very quickly, we wrap up. You see it on the bottle. It says gluten-free. It's all BS, right?
Mm.
Distillation kills gluten. It doesn't survive.
Yeah.
But Tito's scored... obviously massively by putting that on their label.
Yeah.
There are people that will say there's traces of gluten left, but I don't.
No.
Distillation takes care of it. It wipes it out. So now,
so
Phil has to go to dinner.
But we need her tasting notes. We need her tasting
come
notes.
Come on.
Oh, what do you mean?
How does that taste? You can just say it
first
tastes good.
First of all, it's perfect. It's delicious. Bushmills has always been my favorite because it's smoother. You know, it and it's flavor forward. It's not... alcohol, even though it's a good, strong alcohol, which is what I prefer, it is also, it's the flavor. And this is...
Looks like somebody's getting two bottles of 30-year-old now. Phil just shamelessly went, Bushmills is my favorite because they can send him third. Now we're getting two bottles,
she
probably.
Very good,
no,
Monica.
I would have had trouble if it was the other.
Here's Monica. There's only two Irish people in the room now.
Hmm.
Monica and Dan Dunn. Oh, sorry.
You're a little Irish.
That's
McDougal.
Right.
McDougal.
Wait, what?
Tell me your full name. Tell me the full name.
Anna McDougal.
Anna McDougal. Right. That's an Irish name, all right? Yeah, right?
Well, yeah, I'm Monica, Scottish.
Monica's or name Scottish, on the show Irish. Was Amy McDougal, which is Anna's sister.
Fantastic.
Yes.
The real
all right, I'm going to let you guys go to dinner. Let me say this very quickly to everybody listening. I want to thank Anna, Monica, Tom, Phil for being here. Of course, I want to thank all of you. Do you want to? They know where to find you. Phil Rosenthal's everywhere. Tom Caltabiano, he's somewhere.
Right, but you should say that Phil's show
is on now on Netflix. We've said this. The book is out now. Phil is on tour. He's got 25 cities you're going to. Go to your website.
It's the North American 2024 Phil Live Tour. All the information's at Instagram.
Phil and Lily's book is out now.
And the book is great.
There's
the show's
so much going on. And then there's me and Tom. We're going to be appearing at
Uber.
Yeah,
we will be in your Uber.
Yeah, so when you look forward, you go, your voice sounds familiar, and you go, where would you like to go?
Yes, where would you like to go? Of course, everybody listening out there, I want to thank you. I know you have a lot of options. I heard there's like over 100 podcasts out there now you can listen to, and you're choosing. Phil's got four of them, you chose to listen to this. We appreciate it. Follow me at The Imbiber on Instagram. We're going to have video from this. We'll have it on YouTube, and Phil promises and Tom promises, and we're going to get Monica on this one, and if Anna wants to come, Japanese whiskey somewhere down the line, we're going to do that show. And thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. All right. That was great. Thanks.